Chapter 13. Darkness. Silence. That was all that engulfed us for the first leg of our journey into the void. Jonas, Nadir, Alvi, and I rode on the back of Tyrion as the silver dragon floated down the great abyss, while Ashanti's oversized ant skittered down the tunnel right off to the left. For the longest time, we could hear nothing but the sounds of our own shallow breaths and the scuttling of the Mirak's feet against the stone wall. I didn't know about anyone else, but my heart was in my fucking throat as we moved down deeper and deeper into the great abyss, closer to whatever monstrosity dwelled within its embrace. At best, an angry, fire-breathing dragon waited for us at the bottom. At worst, we had to deal with both a dragon and whatever it was that swallowed up Nemea. None of us dared to say a single word, nor did we venture to light a lantern or breathe fire or do anything that might give away our position to the creatures that lurked below. Soon, however, the creature gave itself away to us. From deep within the darkness, we heard a long, huffing breath, and a gust of warm air blew past us in a flash and shoved Tyrion backward completely. The dragon gasped as he caught himself with his wings, and then he hung in the air, still as a stone, as we waited to see what happened next. There was another deep breath with another gust of warm air, but this time Tyrion was prepared and held his ground.
"Is it asleep?"
Tyrion asked telepathically.
Maybe,
I answered via the dragon bond. Or maybe it knows we're in here and it wants to intimidate us.
If it's a dragon, and it already knows we're down here, we would all be dead right now. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Then it's got to be sleeping. This could actually work out to our advantage.
How? Do you not remember the last time we tried to mess around with sleeping dragons?
Oh, I remember. This time, though, we've got something we didn't before. Sleeping powder. If we can shove a bunch of that stuff into the creature's maw before it wakes up, then we can knock it out cold for as long as we need to rebond it.
I hope you're right.
The silver dragon sighed.
Because if you're not, we're going to be in some deep trouble.
Okay. I whispered as softly as I possibly could to my friends. We're pretty sure the dragon's sleeping, so here's the plan. We're going to sneak down on top of him, pour a bunch of sleeping powder into his nostrils, and then hope that puts him out long enough for Jonas to complete the ceremony.
If the powder is as strong as Valea claims it is, then this should be one of the easiest tasks we've ever done.
Damn it, Jonas, that was definitely the way to jinx it all.
How's it looking down there, Ben?
Batari's voice cut through my mind.
There's been nothing but silence on our end, and we're all starting to get worried.
The dragon's down here all right. Now it's just a matter of getting him rebonded without waking him up.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
The Queen Mother tried to pump me up.
Just try to... Wait, what is that? Oh, no!
Batari, what's going on up there?
Ben...
Batari trailed off.
Y'all need to get out of there, right now.
What are you talking about? The dragon doesn't even know we're here yet.
It is the Mon of Flock.
Mira's voice declared telepathically.
Somehow the remnant of the Flock have found us.
Do you guys think you can hold them off? My heart was now on my knees. We only need a few more minutes.
We can try, but if they get down into the tunnel, there's nowhere for you to go.
We're so close. We have to at least get Jonas into position to try and make this happen.
Ben!
Nadir whispered into my ear.
What's going on?
It's the Monoflock. They must have been stalking us or something.
Well, then we must make haste,
Jonas whispered in a voice full of panic.
If we don't hurry, those birds could ruin everything.
Tyrion and Ashanti's Mirak continued downward, ever so slowly, until I finally saw a shape in the darkness. The silhouette of the dragon filled the entirety of the tunnel in a round, rotund shape, and its chest rose and fell with deep, huffing breaths as its wings twitched every now and again.
Holy shit, we just hit the motherlode. This was the fat brown dragon from the volcanic island.
It's huge,
Nadir whispered into my ear.
Look at how big his muscles are. Look at his massive stomach. This is a beast that knows how to eat. I love him so much already.
With any luck, he'll be your bondmate here shortly, I retorted with a smirk. Jonas, how long do you think it'll take to get the ceremony done?
The ceremony takes some time,
the elder soothsayer admitted.
Right now, I'd be much more worried about keeping the fire-breathing dragon from waking up.
Ashanti, I hissed at the Chero woman. Do you have the bag?
Right here on Miramwa's hip,
Ashanti noted.
Shall we begin to disperse it?
Be careful,
Alvi warned.
If you miss, we all go to sleep. Or worse.
Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to make our move.
Ben! They broke through our line!
Suddenly, the opening of the tunnel grew dark, and angry squawks bounced off its walls in a distant echo. They drew closer and louder by the second, and I realized now we had a fateful decision to make. Did we take our chances with the dragon, or with the horde of monoflock birds that completely blocked the entrance and were out for blood? Fucking hell. Tyrion, can you try to light them up from down here?
Are you mad? That's almost certainly going to wake that big guy up.
It's either that or we get torn apart by flesh-eating birds, I reminded him. The dragon hesitated for a few seconds before he finally conceded.
Fine.
Ben, Jonas gasped when Tyrion flew a few feet up in the air and tilted his head to the sky.
What about the sleeping powder?
That'll do us as good as a canoe in a tsunami if those birds get to us. What's the point of putting the dragon to sleep if we're all bird food anyways? As Tyrion opened his mouth, orange and yellow flames illuminated our immediate surroundings. The silver dragon then took a deep breath, pursed his lips, and unleashed a blast of red-hot fire straight up into the air. The beam of flames rocketed toward the incoming monoflock and lit up the tunnel like a ray of sunlight. Now I could see everything. I could see the rotund brown dragon that snored on the ground before us, with his oval-shaped body and blemish-covered scales. I could see the terror in my crewmates' eyes as they realized we were trapped between a literal rock and a hard place. Most importantly of all, I could see Tyrion's flames as they lit up those avian fuckers above. These creatures may have been smart enough to hold a grudge, but they apparently weren't smart enough to realize they'd committed one of the classic pitfalls of a battle strategy. When you funnel an enemy into a small space for the slaughter, make sure you don't trap yourself as well. The monoflock birds squawked in agony as they were engulfed by the flames and turned to ashes instantly. The attack took out a good chunk of the creatures, but several of the black birds were able to push themselves against the wall and live to fight another day.
Hit them again!
I commanded Tyrion as I drew my sword.
There's still a fuck ton more!
Tyrion inhaled, summoned fire into the back of his throat, and blasted away at the birds once more. This time, several more of the black-feathered fiends went up in smoke, and the entire right half of the tunnel was cleared of enemies. As the flames illuminated the tunnel, Ashanti let loose a few arrows up into the flock of birds. A few of the bastards screeched as their bodies were impaled, and then they went limp as they spiraled to the ground. The surviving birds continued on the warpath, and all I could do was blindly flail my sword before me as they swarmed us.
Gah!
Tyrion cried out as he began to spin his body in a circular motion.
Get off me, you stupid birds!
Tyrion! I commanded the dragon telepathically. Keep it steady, my friend!
Go easy for you to say! You don't have a bunch of beaks pecking at your butt!
I know you're frustrated, I tried to emphasize with the guy. But we're not exactly on here tight. If you keep flailing around like that, we could... Before I could finish my sentence, I heard a shrill screech from right beside my head. I took a swipe at the darkness with my sword, but all I hit was air. Then there was a powerful thud as one of the bird bastards slammed into my side. A wave of pain shot up my side as my entire body was knocked to the left, and I flailed my hands rapidly to try and keep my balance. It didn't work. Between the sudden impact from the bird and the fact that Tyrion was whipping around like he was having a seizure, I lost my footing. I felt the heaviness of my body in the pit of my stomach as my legs fell loose from Tyrion's neck, and I plummeted downward, straight toward the sleeping dragon.
Ben!
Nadir cried out from above. The next thing I knew, my body slammed into the fat dragon. I felt the creature's scales against my own as I impacted against his shoulder, bounced off, and then landed face first on the ground. There was a hollow clanking noise as I tried to pull myself back to my feet, and I felt all the blood flush from my face when I realized what I'd landed on. Bones. I was on my hands and knees in a small pile of bones. Well, I guess I now knew why the dragon was so fat, and what happened to the thing that got Nemea. No matter how big, strong, and terrifying that thing was, it apparently stood no chance against a fire-breathing dragon. I shuddered as I stood to my feet and tried to get a bearing on my surroundings. But my blood ran cold when I saw the giant yellow-slitted pupil that stood before me. The dragon's eyes were nearly the size of my entire body, and it was wide open as it stared into my very soul. Without another word, the fat brown dragon let out an annoyed huff, and the gust of wind knocked me flat on my ass. My heart hammered in my chest as the creature began to stir, He let out a soft chuff as he craned his neck upward to check out the commotion, and then his curiosity turned to anger. I watched helplessly as the fat brown dragon opened his mouth and roared. My eardrums felt like they fucking exploded as the deep, guttural snarl echoed through the cavern walls, and the sheer vibration of the sound rattled me to my very core. "Tyrion!" I commanded the silver dragon telepathically. "Get everybody down here right now!"
"Down there? With the giant angry dragon?"
"Just do it! Grab Ashanti and her aunt and get down here!" Tyrion's figure quickly swooped over to Ashanti and her Mirak, snatched them both up in his jaws, and then began to dive downward. Meanwhile, the earth shook as the fat dragon stood to his feet and opened his mouth wide. I watched helplessly as the droopy jowls on each side of his face lit up with glowing fire, and then he unleashed his fiery breath straight upward. The monoflock birds screeched and cawed as they were burnt to a crisp, but all I could think about was my friends. I looked back and forth across the bone-littered ground for any signs that they'd survived, but my initial search proved to be fruitless.
"Oh, come on, guys," I muttered frantically.
The fat dragon, on the other hand, was still pissed off at his unwelcome guests. He stomped his hind legs into the ground before he stood up on 2 feet, stretched out his wings as far as they could go, and then took off like a bat out of hell. The powerful beating of his wings forced me to the ground, where I watched with a heavy heart as he slowly rose up toward the entrance of the pit. In a matter of minutes, he'd be surface side, and all of my friends would be toast.
"Look alive, everyone!"
I commanded all of my crewmates with a dragon bond.
"We've got a fat boy headed your way."
"Wow, fat boy. I hope that's not how you talk about me when you think I'm not listening."
"Tyrion!"
I gasped as relief washed over me. I turned around to see my friends all safe and sound on the floor of the cavern, with their flesh still attached to their bones, and not so much as a singular bit of ash on their bodies.
"Oh, that was close. Perhaps next time we should just drop the powder down the tunnel and call it a day."
"There won't be a next time. If we let this dragon slip away, then our chances of ever finding him again will be slim to none. We need to get back up there and finish this. Now! Ashanti, please tell me you still have the bag of sleeping powder all present and accounted for."
"Sure thing,"
Ashanti snorted.
"I still have the bag of sleeping powder present and accounted for."
"Now's not the time for sarcasm," I grumbled, though I was a bit amused. "Do you have the powder or not?"
"I have it."
The three-horned Chero raised the bag.
"Though I'll admit getting it to the target just got a bit more complicated."
"You just leave that to me and Tyrion. Toss me the bag."
"I think I'll hand it to you. I don't want to accidentally put us all to sleep."
The rhino woman clicked her tongue, and then her Mirak scuttled forward. She held out the sack of powder for me to take, so I snatched it from her and tucked it underneath my arm. I then ran over to Tyrion, made a running jump onto his back, and nestled the bag in between my legs.
"Take us topside, Tyrion. Everybody else, hop on and get ready for the ride of your lives."
Nadir, Alvi, and Jonas all joined me atop the dragon, while Ashanti and her Mirak simply began to climb the walls of the pit as quickly as they could. Tyrion spread his wings before he leapt up into the air and took flight, and we rocketed upward in the darkness toward the small circle of light that made up the opening of the pit.
"Do you think we'll be fast enough?"
Jonas asked, over the sound of rushing wind.
"Or will we get up there to find nothing but several piles of burnt ash?"
"This is a no-negativity zone, Jonas," I shot back to the soothsayer. "You may as well call Tyrion here the Millennium Falcon, because he can definitely make the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
"He can make the what in what?"
Alvi grumbled.
"It's a reference to one of his old Earth stories. None of us understand them either."
Even though I knew Tyrion was the fastest dragon alive, I did wonder if Jonas's prediction would be right. If the fat dragon had turned his attention to my friends, I doubt they'd stand a chance. He was a mammoth of a creature, and I was sure he was equally as powerful as he was large. The opening of the pit grew larger and brighter as we got closer, until Tyrion eventually burst through the hole with the speed of a cheetah. The bright light engulfed my eyes and blinded me for a split second, but as my pupils readjusted, I heard a sound that had brought me much comfort over the years.
"Come on, you fuckers of mothers!"
Mira declared from somewhere below.
"Is that all you've got?"
At least I knew my friends were still alive. For now. When my eyes finally readjusted, I saw the exact reason why they hadn't been disintegrated yet. Though many monoflock birds attacked my crewmates and the spindrel women, the majority of the flock was focused on the fat dragon. The black birds had formed together to create one giant dark wave that appeared as a singular unit, one that was just as big as the brown fire breather.
It honestly felt like I was about to watch a frickin' Godzilla movie go down in real life. A tendril of black formed as several birds shot out at the dragon and slammed into his chest. However, try as they might to form a singular entity, the monoflock birds were still just a bunch of crow-sized birds. They squawked as they hit the dragon's chest and then bounced off harmlessly. The fat dragon just chuffed happily as he watched the birds' feeble attempt at an attack. He then took a deep breath as his maw lit up with flames, and he unloaded a blast of fiery breath right into the cluster of monoflock birds. Their screeches only lasted a second before they were completely turned to ashes, but the dragon didn't let up there. He moved his gargantuan fan of flames back and forth across the flock until almost all of them had been incinerated. Holy fuck! He just took out a whole army of birds as if they were nothing!
Yeah! Is my dragon all right?
He won't be anyone's dragon if we don't get him subdued. We need... One of the remaining monoflock birds dive-bombed my head, but I dispelled it with a swipe of my sea-glass sword. It shrieked as its head was separated from its body, and then the bastard went silent as it plummeted down into the great abyss and out of sight.
Let me off.
Alvi huffed.
On the ground, I can fight better from there.
That's not a bad idea. That guy might look like a tub of fat, but he's actually pretty fast. If I want to stand any chance of catching him, I'm going to need as light of a load as possible.
Then bring us down there, I commanded the silver dragon, and he obeyed without hesitation. Tyrion swooped down and landed on the ground right next to Pei and Lazan, who were both in the middle of fighting off a monoflock swarm. Nadir cried as she sprang from her seated position and drew her stone axe. The raccoon woman used the flat side of her weapon as a makeshift club as she raised it above her head and then brought it down hard. The axe smashed against one of the black birds, knocked it into the ground, and then pulverized it into a heap of gore with a wet crunch. Alvi and Jonas slid from Tyrion's back as well, though neither of them were quite as graceful. Jonas flailed his sea-glass dagger wildly at the birds, but he didn't seem to hit any of them. Instead, the soothsayer stuck close to Alvi, who had a much easier time than he did against the deadly flock. I watched the brunette hedgehog woman as she twirled her double-sided wood spear in her hands, spun around, and skewered a bird through its heart. She then tossed it to the side, smacked away a second bird, and impaled a third through the neck, all in a single stride. At the same time, Lazan and Pei fought back-to-back, and even though their fighting styles were night and day, the two women seemed to move as a single entity as they spun, twirled, and lashed out at their enemies in unison. A ground-shaking roar from the fat dragon, however, quickly brought me back to reality. Though his avian foes were vanquished, the brown dragon now had his attention on another enemy. Us. Ah, fuck, I grumbled aloud. Tyrion, let's go knock this guy down for the count. Tyrion took to the sky, which drew the eyes of the fat dragon immediately. That's right. Focus on us. As long as the dragon's attention was on us and not the rest of my crewmates, they stood a much greater chance at surviving.
I'm going to hit them with a few blasts of flame, Tyrion explained as we flew.
You're one of our strongest crewmates, Tyrion, but I don't think your fire breath is going to do much to this Chunkosaurus Rex.
It doesn't have to. It might not hurt him, but it'll certainly annoy him, which means...
Which means he'll be trying to kill us and not the rest of the crew. I finished the thought. Good thinking. I just hope Tyrion was agile enough to dodge the fat dragon's attacks. If not, well, then at least it would be a quick, mostly painless death. Tyrion unleashed a blast of flames right at the brown dragon. The attack struck his left wing and left a large black burn mark, though it didn't seem to do much damage beyond that. Still, it was enough to make the fat dragon roar with pain.
What's the matter?
Tyrion mocked his opponent.
You don't like it when it's done to you?
I didn't know if the fat dragon could understand Tyrion or not, but his eyes narrowed as he continued to track us across the sky. The brown beast then sucked in air as his jowls glowed intensely, and he let loose an eruption of red-hot death from his mouth. At the last second, Tyrion darted upward and out of the way of the incoming flames. The searing heat radiated off the attack as it passed below us and caused me to sweat like a frickin' hog, but we were safe for the moment. The fire dragon held his attack as he tried to follow Tyrion's flight pattern, but the little silver dragon was too quick. Tyrion and I darted back and forth, up and down, and in every direction known to man, as we dodged the incendiary attack. Soon, we were within 20 feet of the fat dragon's head, so I pulled out the sack of sleeping powder and prepared to go in for the kill. That's when the fat dragon got physical. He halted his fiery breath, but then lashed out with his stocky, thick foreleg. The fat dragon's paw slammed into Tyrion's body right as I hauled back with the satchel, and we were knocked out of the sky.
Ah!
Tyrion cried out as he was dislodged from underneath my body and went flying off into the distance.
Shit, 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 shit!
I gasped as my legs flailed like a cartoon character, and I reached out for anything I could grab to keep myself from falling. The only thing close was the fat dragon's jowls, so I grabbed onto the hunk of fat with both hands, and then watched helplessly as the bag of sleeping powder fell toward the ground. This definitely made things more complicated. Thankfully, the flesh of the dragon's jowls was loose enough that it moved like a wide, round rope swing. So I kicked out my feet, used my momentum to push myself forward, and then leapt toward the creature's neck. I landed with a hearty thud against his blemished brown scales. But then I wasted no time in climbing up onto the back of his head. The fat dragon roared as he felt me climb, and then he began to shake his head back and forth violently. All I could do was dig my hands and boots into the dragon's scales, and then hold on for dear life. My brain rattled in my skull as I tried to keep my grip, though I could feel myself slowly slipping. If that happened, I was done for. The dragon would toss me up into the sky and then gobble me up like I was a treat, or he would just incinerate me with his deadly fire breath. I didn't know which one would be worse.
Hold on, Dad!
Morella's voice declared via the dragon bond.
Help is on the way!
Morella! What are you doing? Don't you dare try to play the hero!
We are with her, Ben.
Charon's voice joined in.
Yeah!
Swaer added.
We were about to show this big fella the power of double dragons!
The fat dragon suddenly stopped shaking his head and turned his attention to the incoming assault. Morella rode atop Charon as the water dragon bounded toward the foul beast, while Swaer and Awara darted through the sky beside them. The brown dragon let out an amused chuff before he took a deep breath. And even from my position on the back of his head, I could feel the heat of the white-hot flames billowing up inside his body.
Don't be an idiot, Morella, I warned my daughter. You've seen what this guy is capable of.
And you've seen what we are capable of, father,
Morella shot back.
Trust me on this.
Oh, damn, she really was my daughter. The fat dragon unleashed a blast of his fire breath down onto my friends, and my heart fell into my knees. Thankfully, Charon and Swaer were more than prepared. Both of the dragons retaliated with their own respective breaths, and the fat dragon's attack was met in the middle by a beam of water and a powerful gust of wind. The edges of the flame blast were whipped backward in a circular pattern, while the center evaporated with a sharp hiss from Charon's spray of ice-cold water. They were doing it! They were actually fighting back against a full-grown dragon! Still, I wasn't sure just how long this was going to hold up. While the three attacks appeared to be a stalemate at first, the fat dragon's fire inched closer and closer to my crewmates by the second. That's when I realized this was all by design. Morella didn't think that these dragons could actually beat the fat one. It was all just a clever sleight of hand. Awara's pink, monarch-pattern wings shot across the neon landscape as she darted away from the battle, and the Morpho woman swooped over, snatched up the fallen bag of sleeping powder, and then turned up to the sky. She flew up until she was level with my position on the dragon's back, and then she winked at me and raised the sack above her head.
Think fast, Draco Rex!
Awara laughed as she tossed the bag directly at me. I drew my sea glass sword, held it by my side, and tracked the falling bag with my eyes. I only had one shot at this. If I missed, the fat dragon was definitely going to turn his attention back to us. And this time he'd be so pissed off he wouldn't miss. I took a deep breath, gripped the hilt of my weapon, and then lashed out like a cobra. The tip of my blade caught the falling bag and snagged on the fabric, and the pouch tore open with a satisfying rip. As gravity pulled the sack downward, the yellow dust inside burst out in several small clouds, which then floated down in front of the dragon's face. Trails of the cloudy powder drifted into his giant nostrils, and I held my breath as it began to float back toward me. Thankfully, Awara was on the case. The orange-haired Morpho woman darted over, grabbed me beneath my armpits, and lifted me into the air. She pulled me off the dragon's head and then flew to a safe distance before she turned to watch the scene unfold. The fat dragon's head was now completely engulfed in the cloud of sleeping powder, and he cut off his fire attack immediately. He let out a snarl as he turned to face Awara and me, with eyes that were now wide and burning with rage. The fat dragon's jowls began to glow as he stared us down, and my blood ran cold as he charged up his next attack.
We were sitting ducks. The fat dragon opened his mouth, hauled back his neck, and then the flames flickered out. The rotund brown dragon began to wobble in the sky as if he were drunk. His head shot forward and then hung down like it weighed 1,000 pounds atop his neck, and his eyes began to flutter. Before I knew it, the fat dragon closed his eyes, and his body went limp.
Scatter!
Swa'er cried out as we watched the massive beast fall toward the forest below. My friends heeded the dragon's warning as they darted off to either side of the collapsing beast. The fat dragon's body literally shook the earth as it slammed into the ground and took out nearly 20 luminous plants. His tail hung over the edge of the great abyss, and his head laid nearly 50 feet away, literally inside of a luminous. Meanwhile, the monoflock birds were all but gone. A handful of the creatures flew away in terror, though their numbers were so thin at this point that I didn't think they could come back and attack us again, even if they wanted to. I looked down at the scene before us as my adrenaline came down, and I couldn't believe what I saw. Somehow, some way, we'd done it. We knocked out the fat dragon, and now the rebonding ceremony could begin.